It's really important when we talk about true worship that we also talk about the church. Like we already heard this morning in the first part of the meeting. In the time of the Old Testament, God said so clearly that He chose one place out of all of the tribes in the good land, and that all of the people of God had to go there three times a year to keep the feasts before Him and to worship Him. And in John 4, the Lord showed us today worship is no longer in this earthly Jerusalem, but it's in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that you can just worship God alone in your room. Lock up the door. God said so clearly in the time of the Old Testament that all of the people had to come together to keep the feasts before the Lord. And I really like this picture this morning on the board. In the time of the Old Testament, everything was in an earthly manner. The people that God chose, they were on the earth, they went to this place that the Lord chose on the earth, they went there and they ate physical food coming from the earth. But in the new covenant, the Lord transferred everything into heavenly matters. We've jumped up into the heavens. And all of the principles that we saw that God revealed for His earthen people are just as valid in the time of the new covenant. That's why for me I have a burden when we talk about the offerings, when we talk about Deuteronomy 12 in this so-called Old Testament. It needs to be a help to us, to help us to understand what God wants today. If I ask you, did God just make all His earthen ordinances and then after a while, 2,000 years later, He thought, I can just transfer this into heaven? No, from the very beginning on, He had this heavenly goal in His eyes, in His heart. And the earthen kingdom just showed us the example. So even everything we see of the earthen people in the earthen kingdom, it just shows us, it's like a shadow, it's an image of what is in the heavenly kingdom. So the earthen kingdom, the earthly kingdom, should help us to understand the heavenly kingdom. How can you understand a heavenly Jerusalem if you've never heard of the earthly Jerusalem? How can you understand that the Lord wants to have one place, one church and one city, if you haven't seen in the Old Testament that the Lord chose only one place for all of His people to worship? How do you want to understand that Christ is the sacrifice in the offerings if you don't see the details of the offerings in the Old Testament? We live in the time of the new covenant, and what God wants to have today is this heavenly Jerusalem. I want to read 1 Peter 2 again, verse
4
to verse
6.
This is really complementary to John 4. In John 4, we see that worship is in the spirit and in truth. And in 1 Peter 2, it says the church is a spiritual house. I'm going to read verse 4 to verse 6 from 1 Peter 2. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." It is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Christ is this cornerstone. He was laid in heavenly Zion as an elect and precious cornerstone, chief cornerstone." So the church, like Peter says, is the spiritual house. In the German translation, it says, "Be built up to one spiritual house." So there's one. It's not that there's one spiritual house here and one there and one here and there. It says, "Come to the, build up to the spiritual house." There's one spiritual house, just like there was one terrestrial house, one earthly house. Yeah, it's like when someone says, the house. What is the house? It's the temple, the place where the sacrifices were brought, the place where the feasts were celebrated. And Peter says today that we are being built up today as the spiritual house. That means we are being built up to the reality of what we read in the Old Testament. So the question is, how? How do we build up this spiritual house? How do you want to build up the spiritual house? How do you want to build something in heaven? You cannot build with earthly materials. You can't build something spiritual with earthly materials, also not with soulish materials, with materials from the soul. We need to see there is a gap. It's very, very big, gigantic gap. It's a completely different realm. I was trying to think how I could describe this in words. It's a different realm. Maybe you're like your body and soul, they're also different realms. You cannot nourish your body with a soulish thing, right? It's not possible. You can't look at Picasso pictures and all of a sudden your hunger is... You are not hungry anymore. Why? Because it's two different realms, your body and your soul. So today, if we try to build the church with earthly means or with soulish means, it doesn't work. It can never satisfy God. Just like your body can never be fully satisfied with soulish things. That's why in 1 Peter 2 verse 4 it says, God chose a living stone. God already predetermined the construction material, the building material. We need to see, what is the building material for the church? It is Christ as a living stone. And what is the way? It says coming to him as a living stone. So if I ask you, how often do you come to the Lord as to a living stone? And how often have you prayed, "Lord, I come to you as to a living stone"? Michael, how often? Okay. Pretty often, he said. I have to say, I don't come very often with this consciousness to Christ. Why not? Because often the vision that we have of the church is too small, it's too limited. I don't see that the church is the spiritual house to which we need to be built up to today. If I ask you, what have you seen the last two or three days here at the conference? Or if I look at you, what do I see? Do I see 250 young people? And we meet here very many times a day. We sing a few songs. We hear a message, then we go and eat. Is that my view of this conference? Is that what I see? Or do I see, I see a spiritual house? How can you see a spiritual house? You can only see it with your spiritual eyes. And when the Lord opens up your spiritual eyes, that's why we all need to go to the Father and say, Father, please show me the spiritual house that I can see it. That I have this consciousness when I'm together with the saints, when I go to the meetings, that I have a different consciousness. I'm conscious of the fact that, like the people of God back then, I am going to the house of the Lord, not I'm just going to a meeting, a normal meeting. The Lord wants certainly to give us such a consciousness, such an awareness. Why? Because it's about becoming true worshippers. And I think it's good for us to see again.
Was ist der Stellenwert der Versammlung, wenn wir von der wahrhaftigen Anbetung reden?
What does the meeting mean? What is the value of the meeting when we talk about true worship?
Man könnte denken, okay,
we talked about we need to worship in the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit. So maybe we could say, walking in the Spirit, this is already true worship. So if you walk in the Spirit, then God is happy already, satisfied. Of course, God is glad when we walk in the Spirit. But the picture that we see in the Old Testament is that God ordained certain feasts. In Deuteronomy 16:16, it says, 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. At the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Have you ever try to celebrate a feast with just two of you or three of you? Yeah? Let's say I throw a birthday party and I just invite Friso, and the two of us, we celebrate my birthday. It's not a big feast, right? It's not a really big party. Not because it's Friso, but just because of the number of guests that attend. So God said, all your males shall appear. Everyone has to come together to celebrate the feast. This is the reason, or this is one reason, why we come together to meet in the church. Why we gather together in order to keep the feasts, to celebrate the feasts. This is the significance of the meeting. And this is the place where we bring our offerings so that everyone receives nourishment and food. And walk in the Spirit, of course, it's a foundation for this. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you don't have anything to bring to the meeting, right? This is our experience. That means it really, there's a requirement for us to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means to experience the offerings. So then when we come together, we all bring these offerings, what we experience. First of all, for God's enjoyment, and then for all of the saints. Like in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, it says that we are built up as living stones to a spiritual house, to a holy priesthood, to sacrifice spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is actually a very good definition or description of the church life. Yeah? In the church life, we are built up to a holy priesthood. You're a stone. What is the stone there for? What do we need stones for? For the wall, for the house. The stone is there to be placed next to other stones, and by this, the spiritual house is built. And what is the house there for? Why is there a house? What's a house? Why do we need a house? To dwell there for God, and also for the holy priesthood, the place to serve. But what are the priests there for? Not for themselves, but they're there to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And what are the sacrifices for? Therefore, God, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That means, in this verse, we see that just draws everything to God. We really need this pull in the church. We need this. When you come to the meeting, it's have a heart that the Lord, that the Father would receive something. Come to the meeting for the Father. Of course, there are situations that the Lord uses the meeting to speak to us, to refresh us, and we receive a lot in the meeting. But start not just to come to the meeting for yourself, but start to come to the meetings for the Father.
I
want to take another chapter as an example from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26. Here, it's about the offering of the first fruits. It's also something that God ordained us to bring into his house, the offerings of first fruits. So I'll just start to read with verse 1. It shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. This far. I really liked how God describes verse 2. You shall take from the first of the produce. That means it's the best, right? That's, we need to bring our best experiences to the meeting. So take the best of all the produce of the ground, take the best experience of the week, and you should put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. Don't you think God could have left out this phrase and put it in a basket? If you just say, take some of the first fruits and bring it to the place where the Lord chooses. But I really liked how the Lord gives us like a practical help. How to bring the first fruit? Put it in a basket. That's what he said. He said, put it in a basket. And we can apply this for us today. Make yourself a practical help. Take a basket in quotation marks. And during the week, start to gather your experiences. Gather the first fruits. And then when you come to the meeting, especially on Sunday, why on Sunday? Because this is the biggest feast, it's where the most people are there, then you need to take your basket with you, with the first fruits inside of it, with the best experiences of the week. Yeah, write down how you experience Christ during the week. Fill up your basket during the week, and then you take a moment, and then you pick out the best fruits out of your basket, and then you take this basket with you to the meeting. Isn't that wonderful? It's a different focus than to come to the meeting just to receive something. And the Lord said that you should take from the first of all the produce of the ground. We know that the first fruits, in a certain sense, there's not a lot of them. So it's a small portion, but it's the best portion. And also, when we give a testimony, exercise to bring this part, the best portion. You don't need to talk about how you harvested and then you cut it off the branch and you turned it twice and then you took it away and then on the way it was raining and you had to cover it up and so on. No, really. Let's exercise just to bring the fruit itself for God's enjoyment. Praise the Lord. Then the meetings will really be a feast for God and man at the same time, in the same manner.